Grace, mercy, and peace you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, it's confusing when the scriptures speak of war in heaven. But that is indeed what occurred. Visions, angels, archangels, war in heaven. And we add to this textual batter of monster cookies a woman, a child, and a dragon. The previous verses from Revelation chapter 12. Now you must know that this war that is fought in heaven is not fought with clubs and swords, guns and nuclear missiles. No, this war is fought with words. It's an all-out word-smithing brawl in God's heavenly courtroom. And there stands Satan, this dragon, standing in God's holy presence and accusing you, the saints of God. He breathes fiery accusations and slanderous lies about you. He drags out all your dirty laundry for all to smell of its stench. He pulls out all the skeletons that you have hidden so carefully in your closet. He parades before God all those who have been hurt by your sin, and all those who are privy to the damage that it has dished out. This is a war of words. And Satan, that ancient serpent of old, hisses day and night your sinful life before the holy and righteous God of heaven and earth. And the reason he does this is because he believes that he has a case against you. For he knows the law, and he knows how to twist the law. Remember the tree in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God's word of curse attached to that tree is twisted into an empty promise of greater knowledge. He knows the truth of your sin. He knows it's well documented. And now the dragon and his angels are here to round you up. Dust and ashes, guilty children of God, sweep you away with his hellish broom. And that is when God and his angels, and the leader of his angels, the angel Michael, that is when they step in. And essentially they say, look, silly dragon, Jesus, the Son of God, he loves sinners, and sinners love that he loves them. St. Michael is well aware of the sinner's truest friend, who knows that God is the sole author of truth, and that his Son is the sole giver of grace and mercy. St. Michael also knows that through Moses came the law, but also through the Lamb of God comes grace and truth. The spotless lamb, this lamb that is drenched with the sins of humanity, blood red, he carries them unto his justifying cross and his glorious resurrection. St. Michael knows that the Lamb of God shuts the mouth of Satan and brands him what he has always been, a liar, a deceiver, a murderer from the very beginning. The Son of God, born of the woman, puts an end to all the deceitful accusations of Satan against you. Satan's malicious words are therefore thrown out of court. They are inadmissible because of Jesus, the one who loves you and the one who sets you free from your sins by his blood. And so with that worded warfare, with Christ's holy precious blood, St. Michael and all his angels cast Satan and all his angels out of heaven. Now this casting out took place as a result of Christ's victory over sin and death and his glorious ascension to the right hand of the Father. Because in God's heavenly courtroom, in God's heaven, there is no room for two opposing words or two truths that are trying to claim the sole authority and the sole reason for the redemptive life of sinful humanity. There's only one truth. And no longer could God tolerate Satan's presence, since his accusations were and are rendered false by what the Lamb of God has done. For in the word of the lie, the dragon, Satan, there is only death and eternal punishment. But in the word of truth, in the child, Jesus, born of the woman, there is forgiveness and eternal life. And this warfare in heaven of which St. John speaks happens precisely because of Christ's victory over death and the grave. Satan is now expelled from heaven. He is banished forever from God's presence. And finally, when Christ returns, Satan and all his fellow evil spirits will be cast forever into the lake of fire, that is, into hell. And because of this great word of the Lamb that St. Michael fights with, there is now a great voice. A great voice in heaven bells out this beautiful and righteous victory of the Lamb of God. And now this song, the song of the redeemed saints here on earth and the song of the saints in heaven, they shake this celestial city and they exclaim this great hymn that the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ end have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. Satan is thoroughly routed by the blood of the Lamb. His mouth is now shut forever, never to utter another word against you, his lambs. But even as you hear this great voice in heaven, even as you know the joy of your sins forgiven and the peace that you shall have in eternal life, there are times when I'm sure that you think, as long as I do, that you just might not make it. But sometimes the war seems too fierce, that the accusations seem too many and too often, that the laundry list of your life is never clean without spot or wrinkle, that the skeletons are too haunting, that though they be strategically placed in your closet, that the wounds that you have inflicted upon others are too deep and too unreconcilable to the remorseful eye, that the webs that you have weaved have ironically been too ironic, for you have been caught in them yourselves. And day and night the serpent hisses before you and in your ear that you will never make it, and that these accusations seem like they will never stop. But it is right there. Just as you are about to drown in the ocean of your sin and unbelief, like Jonah in the Old Testament, in a life that is mishandled and mangled, that you hear the loud voice over against the voice and the hissing of Satan and all his minions. You hear the Lamb of God saying to you, in effect, these words: "In my blood I have forgiven and quenched the greatness of your sin and the lingering guilt that it brings. I have nailed the deceiver's tongue to my cross, never to utter another word against you. For my testimony, that is my life and that is my death, which I counted as nothing, so that I would happily give you everything that I have. And therefore my Father has heard my voice, and in hearing my voice, so now he is your Father. And you are his beloved child, whom he can never abandon nor forget. He loved not his life, Jesus, unto death, but he loved yours even unto eternal life. All the promises that Jesus spoke have come true in him. For Jesus is the promise, even as he is the gift. He is the only promise keeper, the only one. No other can do for you what Jesus has done for you. For apart from him, there is nothing good. But in him, everything is good and everything is right and everything is very good. And at this word, St. Michael and all his angels, they rejoice. All the saints in heaven rejoice. All the saints in earth rejoice. Salvation is done. Your way unto heaven is narrow, yes, but it is straight and it is paved by the blood of Jesus and guarded by his angels. Therefore, consider where you are this morning. Consider in whose presence you stand. For at the table of our Lord, Saint Michael and all his angels, the company of heaven, hover, and they stand with you, giving thanks in a singular confession. Around this table, the heavenly powers, they come to honor him and rejoice over you, that you are repentant of your sins and that you seek the salvation of the Lamb of God. So here you are to ponder nothing earthly. Here salvation with our Lord comes. Christ our God descending from heaven unto earth. And as you kneel or as you stand, and although vested with the body of sin and death, you have been judged worthy, forgiven by this heavenly food that you eat. Worthy to join the powers of heaven in singing with all the saints and all the angels of heaven, Alleluia, Alleluia, Lord Most High. Behold, this is a royal altar. The angels adore it, and the Lamb of God himself is the food and the feast, and he is truly here and present for you. And so the war is over as we sing the Easter song. The victory is yours, as we exclaim the Easter victory. And yet we all know that the skirmishes still continue to break out, which is why we hear these words. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. A desperate enemy is a dangerous enemy. And that is exactly what the devil is. He is a loser without anything to lose. So watch out. Watch out for the devil. And because there are two ways in which the devil will attack you. First, he will try to tear down your faith in Christ. And second, he will then try to build up your faith in yourself. So the devil accuses your conscience and says, your sin, that's way too much for Jesus to forgive. That is too great for Jesus to forgive. He cannot forgive that, whatever that may be. But at the same time, he speaks out of the other side of his mouth, which makes him a liar, which he builds up your confidence in yourself, and he says to you, you know what, you're really not that bad. You don't really need Jesus all the time, every Sunday, every Thursday. You don't need his word and sacraments that much. You can go for weeks without it. After all, it seems like you're doing okay, right? That is what the devil says. He tears down your faith in Christ, and then he goes about building up your faith in yourself. So again, watch out, repent, and trust in Christ alone. For only by his blood and by his word, that is Christ's word and blood, are you victorious, at peace, and at rest, counted among the citizens of heaven in the eternal city of light. And then lastly, perhaps we don't realize, but we certainly experience, that Satan is the Lord of this age and of the world. And though Satan and the world, they are strong, and though they have the multitudes on their side, and though Satan has lived long and he has won many battles and he is active and he is vigorous this very hour in the world, he and the world will not live forever. For his doom is sealed. His head has been crushed. His limbs are withering, and his death approaches, all by the blood of the slain yet risen Lamb. We are always, you see, the Advent Church. We are always the fighting and waiting and expecting church of what we know will come one glorious day that we believe by faith. And so, thus, the eternal Lamb of God commands his angels and the archangel Michael to guard you in all your ways, as the psalmist says. Guardian angels, you may call them. That is fine. They pray for you, and you join their prayers to theirs. And they arouse you from your spiritual lethargy and apathy and laziness to follow God and his commandments. But they do not, that is the angels, desire your worship or replace the blood of the Lamb. For they too battle against Satan on your behalf. They are warriors for you, more than you will ever realize or even acknowledge. And yet you thank God for them. And then when your last hour shall come, when the end of your days on earth comes, it is the angels of God who will carry you and your soul to Christ, to heaven, which is Christ and Christ alone. The early church father Gregory of Nyssa penned upon the lips of his dying sister the following prayer: "Send to my side the angel of light to guide me to the place of rest, where the water of repose is found in the bosom of the patriarchs, in the bosom of Abraham. Indeed, rejoice, you saints on earth, and rejoice, O heaven, all you that dwell therein, for Christ is coming soon, and this shall come to pass. In the name of Jesus, amen.